The Explanation of Surah Luqman, presented by Yahya Ibrahim.
Part 4. Let us look at this ayah, أقم الصلاة. Remember, we told you from the signs of hikmah and wisdom is that the most important thing is what is dealt with first, and from the signs of hikmah is that you put things in their proper perspective. Luqman tells his son the most important thing after the worship of Allah and recognizing your Creator is to show this shukr, thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important way is salah. The scholars of Al-Islam have discussed the importance of salah in numerous places and in different ways. As-salah ya ibadallah, if all that you gain from me in this trip, all that you've gained in the travel that I've made to come to this country, to be here with you in Australia, is that you recognize the importance of standing up in prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the five daily prayers, that which Allah has obligated, that which Allah has written upon every mukallaf, everyone who is responsible. If all that you gain, and if all that you do, is you learn the importance of the salah and you implement it in yourself and your families, I guarantee you that you will have success in the dunya and in the akhirah. Guaranteed from Allah, guaranteed from His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of the worst things and of the greatest barriers, the greatest awa'iq that come between you and your Creator is that you know what you must do, and you don't do it. عِلْمٌ بِالضَّرُورَةِ. Just by being Muslim, you know you must pray. You grow up from 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, you know al-Islam, al-Shahada, and then salah. You have to pray. How many times, you ask any young child, how many times do we pray, and when do we pray them? 5 times a day. And this is when you pray Fajr. We know this, but yet it is of the most difficult things on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given the rahmah and the mercy that He recognizes the importance of salah. It is one of the most difficult things for a person to be constant in. We mentioned to you in our first lecture that we gave in Copeland Hall in the University of Melbourne. I told all of you, raise your hands up if you fast. Everyone in the audience. Men, women, and children, I fast, mashallah, the month of Ramadan. And I didn't tell you to raise your hands up for salah. Why? I know that the majority do not pray the Fajr. The majority do not stand up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their Creator, who they recognize, who they worship, who they claim they love, who they claim they fear, who they claim they hope for His mercy. That if I was to say, raise your hands up if you pray Fajr every day, and you were to be truthful, and not have an attribute of nifaq, hypocrisy, because you're afraid that the person next to you is going to say, you don't pray, while he doesn't pray and he's afraid, you're going to say, you don't pray. Something as simple as waking up for 5 minutes, taking time out of your sleep to begin the day. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. We wake and all kingdoms and all dominion wake to the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah tells us in the Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, are you blind to the fact that to Allah prostrate to Him all that are in the heavens and the earth? والشمس, sun, تسجد لله, والقمر, والنجوم, the stars, the moon, prostrate to Allah, والشجر, the trees, جبال, mountains, prostrate to Allah. وكثير من الناس, and many people from humanity prostrate to Allah. وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابِ. But yet many more are deserving of punishment from Allah. وَمَن يُهْنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. The one whom Allah disgraces, who doesn't recognize salah, who doesn't turn to Allah in ibadah, who lives his whole life, a life of heedlessness, غَفْلَة, مَعْصِيَة. He comes to Allah, and he is given humiliation. وَمَن يُهْنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. The one whom Allah humiliates, who can give him honor? شمس, قمر, والنجوم, والشجر, والدواب, animals, الرعد, thunder, lightning, يسبح الرعد بحمده. But you, whom Allah has given the amana, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ. Allah gave this amana and we accepted it as a human beings, that we were given the choice and the ability to do right and wrong. And foolishly we accept, and here we are. We know what we must do, but sufaha, foolish, imbeciles, recognizing Allah, knowing what we must do, having been given the huda from Allah, you are guided to Islam. You're not like the mushrik. The mushrik, he enters into Islam, Allah doesn't punish him. Sah? A person lives his whole life, kafir, mushrik, najis. He enters into Islam, everything that he had committed beforehand, wiped away. Because he didn't know Allah. You grow up knowing Allah. You grow up coming to the masjid, hearing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name and his hadith. عِلْمٌ بِالضَّرُورَةِ. You know you must pray. What excuse are you going to have in front of your Creator? عَجَبْ. How strange it is that of all the power that Allah has given you, and of all the strength that you have, in that which you must use your strength, you don't use it. In that which you should have the nashab, you're youthful in age, you're young in age, you're 20, 21, 25, 30, 40, you have strength and the ability from Allah, and you don't use that strength in His obedience. And not obedience 24 hours a day, 5 minutes. Simply setting your alarm clock, waking up, making a quick 30-second wudu. Just one time, do the arm. One time, do the other arm. Allahu Akbar, Al-Fatiha, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Yet, you know you must do it and you don't do it. Don't do it. أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. Salah allows a person who's constant in his salah that Allah will protect him from al-fahsha, major sins, wal-munkar, evil deeds, and being oppressive to others. Ordering people to do good is one of the greatest things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to people. The greatest thing that Allah has given to humanity is that He has chosen from humanity the greatest of them to be examples for others to follow. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad's an illiterate man. Can't read and write. Yet Allah chose him to lead the rest of humanity who will come after him in following the true way of recognizing Allah. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that he's going to pass away. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad's just a messenger. He tells us, الْعُلَمَاء وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The scholars, they come after, and they are the ones who inherit from the prophets. What do they inherit? الْأَنْبِيَاء لَمْ يَوَرِّثُوا دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. The prophets don't leave behind any type of money. What they leave behind is ilm. And only ilm is what can be used to call others to the truth. So the Rasul ﷺ didn't pass away and all knowledge ends. Kalla. He passed away and knowledge was given in inheritance, generation after generation. يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مِنْ قُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُ. The Rasul ﷺ says, this ilm, meaning ad-deen, the knowledge of this religion, is carried from generation after generation by its most honorable, al-udul, the scholars. They are those whom Allah has blessed with the ability to order good and prohibit evil using hikmah. In the example of Luqman. And therefore Luqman is passing this on to his son. Tell people to do good. How? Patience. مُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And be patient. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the Jews, those who came before us, who were righteous people, when they were righteous? وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. We made from them those who were imams, leaders for others to follow, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ. And they were certain of the signs we've given them and the belief that they were ordered to maintain. This is an important lesson. I'm not going to go far. I'm going to talk to you about your own home. You right now, as a father, as a husband, you have a wife, alhamdulillah, and you have children. You want to order them to do good. And you want to forbid them from evil. Begin with yourself, as we've already mentioned. Ibda' bi nafsak. Yourself. Second, don't make your word the deciding factor. Don't come to your wife, and this is why the sisters, when we had the sisters only class, all the class it was answering questions. You hear the questions and you see why they're asking. My husband said this. My father said this. It was never I read. I was shown. I heard. When you come to advise someone, you come with the proof. So you come to your wife and a brother, we were having a brothers only discussion over lunch. Says, I want to teach my wife, but she lagged behind. How are you going to teach her? Is it just your words? Or do you allow her to learn? Do you bring for her the Quran and say, look, Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the scholars have written, here's the book, read. Our religion is about discovery. It is about recognizing. Iqra. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iqra. Read. The first word given to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read, recite. It's not about do. It's about understanding. يتدبرون ويتفكرون. مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You ponder and you look around you and you say, Allah didn't create all of this for nothing. You have to recognize. This is one of the most important keys to da'wah. That you don't just have your words. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن. When you argue and you debate, bring to them that which is the best word. Meaning that if your words are not good enough, you bring the words of those who are. And therefore one of the worst things is that people come and congregate and debate issues with their own intellect. يُمَارُونَ بِهِ السُّفَهَاءِ. Trying to impress those who are foolish. The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, as is in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, إِذَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. If you're sitting and you're doing tafsir and you're reading the Qur'an and you dispute one another, you disagree one another about the Qur'an, about an ayah, or about a ruling or a regulation, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, close the Qur'an and separate. Don't sit there. Don't sit and argue and say, I think. This word, I think, when it is not founded on knowledge, is something that corrupts not just yourself, but those whom you are speaking with. In al-ilm, there is no I think. It is an-naqf. What Allah has said. What Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. Or what we extract from what Allah has said. Or what Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in all avenues of life. Wasbir, be patient. Why are we patient? Like the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived the whole life, 40 years building trust with his people. They trust him completely. If he was to tell them, let's go to war, they would listen. He comes and he tells them, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They say, no, we're arrogant. Can't listen to that. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. Can he make all of our gods one god? No. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to be patient. And therefore his example in da'wah must be your example in da'wah. Begin with the basics like Luqman. Tawheed. Ya Mu'ad. I'm sending you to a people who are a people of the book. Jews and Christians. People of the scripture. When you come to them, Ya Mu'ad, awwal. The first thing you call them to is the shahada of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. If they accept, tell them that the five prayers are written. If they accept, tell them the month of Ramadan, zakah, hajj. The one who tries to bring everything together in one setting fails. And I'm talking to the Muslim teachers in the schools. Those who are in these positions where they are molding the next generation. Be easy with the... We were in one of the Islamic schools. I don't know its name. Al-Ilm Islamic School, I think. Ilm. Yeah, Ilm Islamic School. We had a session with the youngsters and we're sitting there and we're talking about everything under the sun. And I know for a fact that the things that we were discussing with them about current rappers, Eminem, all these things, their teachers not once ever touched upon. Completely blind to, as if they don't know that they exist, although they know and recognize. But when you begin to discuss these things, they bring out all that they're saying. I ask them, how many of you have heard Eminem? A song, just one song. Everyone in attendance raised their hand up. Every single one. But we're blind. We're blind to these facts. That is the third point of da'wah, that we make a connection with who we are calling. If you are trying to bring your wife, or your children, or your friend, or a non-Muslim to Islam, or to true practice of Islam, you must be able to think like them. You right now, you know what you must do. You recognize it and you've been doing it. They don't know what they must do. Or they can't do it. They're not willing to do it. You have to be able to put yourself in their frame of reference so that you can find the way to convince them to the truth. And that is where patience is a key. Anytime, ask any scholar. Ya Sheikh, my wife, she isn't wearing hijab. Should I divorce her? What will the answer be? No. Isbir. Be patient. Have to have patience. You have to begin and build the foundations of Tawheed. The scholars of Islam tell us, anyone who sins, the reason of his sin is his lack or deficiency of iman. The less iman a person has, the bigger the sin. You understand? If a person you see him doing a big sin, no, it's because he has very little iman. If you see a person doing small sins, it means that he has, alhamdulillah, iman that is protecting him from the big sins. So the reason the person is making the mistake isn't the mistake that you should be correcting. It is their belief in Allah. And that's why when the sisters ask, tell my daughter to wear hijab, the answer isn't force her, make her, let her understand why. Let her faith in Allah grow. Be patient with your wives. Be patient with your children. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. What's going to happen to you personally. Never has anyone come with the truth except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him to see if he's going to stick to it when it counts. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think you're just going to waltz into paradise? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think you're just going to go into paradise and Allah doesn't make it known who made jihad, strove in his path, worked in his path, or those who were patient? Allah has to make it known. Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think you will be left to say, we believe, and Allah will not test you to show if you truly believe or not? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We tested those who came before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah made it known, those who were truthful in their belief, and those who were liars, those who just claimed belief. Be patient and stick to the truth. The Rasulullah ﷺ teaches us that the greatest thing a person can do to draw near Allah is to be in constant acts, even if they are small. You don't just do a big thing one time. Rather, you are to do the small things over and over and over and over. Every day, you make sure you pray. Not that you pray for 1 week, and you do all of the sunan, and you wake up for tahajjud, and then for a month you don't pray. Every day, be constant. And that is where success lies. Then Luqman advises the son, as Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا. My son, do not turn your face away from men with pride. Don't be arrogant. Nor walk in insolence upon the earth. Don't have that swagger. يَدُنْيَ تَهَدِّي. Earth be damned. مَفِشْ عَلَيْكَ حَدَّ أَدِّي. None is better than me on you. This is the attitude that some people have. The attitude of Qarun. Don't be proud in your walk. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Surely Allah does not like every arrogant boaster. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, والحديث عند الإمام مسلم, لا يدخل الجنة. A person of this type shall not enter Jannah. And Imam al-Nawawi says, shall not enter Jannah, أي في الزمرة الأولى, meaning not with the first believers. Doesn't mean he'll never enter Jannah. And these ahadith of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, it's important to understand, whenever the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is speaking about those who have Iman, and he says, لا يدخل أو لا تشم ريح الجنة أو لا يشم ريح الجنة. These are in particular moments, not في الكلية. Doesn't mean ever. So the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا يدخل الجنة من كان. The one who has half of an atom's weight or a grain of kibr, arrogance in his heart, shall not enter Jannah, meaning with the first believers. One of the Sahaba, he said, Ya Rasulullah, a person likes to have nice clothing. يُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ ثِيَابُهُ حَسَنًا وَنِعَالُهُ حَسَنًا. People like to have nice clothes, nice shoes, nice car, nice home. Is this arrogance? Do we all have to be the same in everything we own? The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this is not the arrogance I'm speaking about. What is an arrogance? بطر الحق وغمت الناس. It's that you reject truth. That's kibr. And to look down to others. And this is the example of the shaytan. Allah tells the angels, اسجدوا لآدم. Prostrate to Adam. All of the angels fall in prostration, obedient to Allah, إلا إبليس. Except the devil, the shaitan. In another ayah, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ. What prohibited you from prostrating to what I created with my hands? قَالَ. Iblis answers, you created me from fire, and you created him from teen, dust, mud, clay. Arrogance. It's not because he thought he's better than Adam, but because he rejected the order of Allah. Do you understand? Iblis earned this curse. أخرج منها فإنك لعين, and you've been cursed. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. You've been cursed till the final day. Not because he didn't prostrate, but because he didn't obey Allah. So right now, we've been telling you, we took 10 minutes to talk to you about Salah. You come tomorrow morning, tonight. You go home and you drive home with your wife. And you turn your electric blanket on. And you see that alarm clock. Look at it. The Muslims, they do this. Sees it. His hand reaches out. Should I or should I not? Should I or should I not? If you go home and you leave that alarm clock turned off, you're arrogant. Istakbart. You're arrogant. Not because you think you're better than someone else, but because you reject what Allah has ordered. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. From arrogance, you also look down at others. You see another person, you see another sister, you see another brother, and you look down at their ibadah. You look down at their obedience to Allah. You look down at them as human beings. He's from there, she's from there. I've been here longer. My job is better. I have a better car. My wife is prettier. Kibr shall not enter Jannah with the first believers. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Allah shall not allow anyone to enter Jannah until all enmity, all hatred, all arrogance is removed from their heart. And that's why they will not be from the first to enter Jannah. One of the ashrah, one of the 10 who are given bushra of al-Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, you are given bushra of Jannah. You will be from Jannah. One of the Sahaba, one of the Tabi'een and one of the other Sahaba, they said, I want to know what this person's doing that he's going to go to Jannah. He lived with him for 3 days, saw his prayer. He didn't see him praying a lot of tahajjud, didn't see him doing a lot of that. Listened to him reading Qur'an, didn't see him reading a lot of Qur'an. Comes after 3 days and he says, what is it that you're doing? Tell me what else that you are doing that maybe you're getting reward. He said, I don't go to sleep having enmity to another person. I don't go to sleep hating anyone else. And I don't go to sleep having wanted and having performed hasad. Well, hasad is that you see someone with something and you say, I want that, and you hope that person loses it. That's what the Sahabi did. Simple. Cleanse your hearts from al-kib. Cleanse your hearts from al-ghiba wa al-namima. Sister's question. What do we do with a sister who's always talking bad about everyone? Should we tell the other sisters to stay away from her? Cleanse your communities from these evil deeds. The thing that will bring you on your face on the day of judgment in the fire, حصائد اللسان. The consequences, the words that you've earned with your tongue. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن الرجل ليتكلم بالكلمة. A person will speak one word. لا يلقي لها بالا. Not thinking that it's something big. ويهوي بها في النار. But that one word shall drag him down into the depths of fire. Be careful with what you say. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk in an arrogant way. Don't have this boastfulness and arrogance. If you show your arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you once and leave you twice, but it will not remain unchallenged. Allah does not like كل مختال فخور. Verse number 19. وقصد في مشيك. And be moderate. Do not show arrogance in how you walk. وغضض من صوتك. Lower your voice. إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. Surely the worst and the harshest of all voices is the voice of a braying donkey. Donkey that's making a loud voice. Luqman is telling his son, don't walk upon the earth in pride. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The servants of Ar-Rahman, their first description are those who walk on the earth in humility. هَوْنًا. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when an ignorant person comes to them, debating them, arguing them, fighting them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They leave them in peace. They don't enter into argumentation when there is no benefit. So therefore, وَقَصِدْ فِي مَشِيكْ. Be moderate. Do not have arrogance in your walk. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. Lower your voice. Even in ibadah. The scholars of Al-Islam, they teach us. And this is one of the things how you know bid'ah is being performed in dhikr. People are excessively loud. If there's a drum beat, like the Sufis, if there are these things, you know there are other than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa kama rawi al-Imam al-Bukhari is walking with the Sahaba. And he hears some of the Sahaba making dhikr. As they are climbing up the mountain and descending, they are making dhikr of Allah. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَرْبِعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Lower your voices. إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمًّا وَلَا غَائِبًا. You're not invoking someone, or you're not invoking Allah who's far away and can't hear you. You're not invoking, you're not making dua to Allah who's distant and can't hear you. And therefore when you recite the Qur'an, when you make your dhikr, when you are praying, you are not excessively loud. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ. Do not be excessively loud in your prayer. You are to have a humble voice. Also, the person, and this is a sign of mental illness. Psychologists, they tell you today, that a person who's loud, whenever he's talking, he's always talking loud, if he doesn't have a type of deafness, that's a sign of mental illness. Instability. He's not normal. He's got a problem. And therefore, we see that we as Muslims must be humble in our walk, lower our voices. We do not combat others. We are soft in our discourse. Never was the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known to raise his voice except in a khutbah, jumu'ah, lecturing, maw'idah, yawm al-eid, khutbah al-eid. He would be loud in his voice. Otherwise, they never saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laugh loud or speak in a loud tone or a loud voice. For that is from the sunan of al-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَسْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The worst of voices, the harshest of voices, is the sound of a donkey when it is screaming. Showing him, do not have the attributes of animals when you are created as a human being. Don't bring yourself down to the attribute of an animal, to the way of an animal, when Allah has given you this honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind in the best, most perfect way. Nothing is more complete and more perfect than a human being. We'll end with a joke. Al-Imam Malik, as he was sitting, huwa wal-Imam al-Shafi'i, a man comes in and he says, Ya Imam, I said to my wife, if you are not prettier than the moon, فَأَنْتِ طَالَقْ. If you're not prettier than the moon, I'm going to divorce you. So he comes to Imam Malik and he says, is my wife divorced? Because I saw the moon and it's beautiful. So Imam Malik, he paused, he thought, he said yes. Imam Shafi'i, I heard. And he told the man, and this is the adab, he didn't come in front of Imam Malik and say no. He told the man, أعد علي السؤال. Tell me again your question. So he tells him the question, I said to my wife, if you're not prettier than the moon, I'm going to divorce you. So he tells him, make sure you know that your wife has not been divorced, for your wife is prettier than the moon. The man grabs his shafi'ah and says, where did you see my wife? Kuntifain. Where did you see her? When did you interact with her? Ghayra. So Imam al-Shafi'i says that Allah created human beings in the best manner. Ahsana. It is the best creation was given to human beings. So therefore we as human beings should not resemble the attributes of that which is beneath us. We do not resemble the attributes of swine, of monkeys, by listening to music. I told the children today in the school, and I remind you, if you watch one of those MTV, do you have MTV here? Hopefully you don't. MTV is a music channel. Bring it, don't watch TV. I'm not telling you watch TV or watch these channels. But if you mute, you don't listen to the sound, and just watch how they act, Discovery Channel. The way they act, the way they move, the way they jump. وَلَا الْبَهَائِمِ إِنْهُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلِّ They're worse than cattle. Right? So we don't have these attributes, these acts. We stick to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will take one or two of the questions. The first question, can a praying Muslim woman, meaning a Muslim woman who prays, can she marry a man who does not pray? Such a man has asked for my hand in marriage, and my parents approve. Subhanallah. Ya bunay, aqim as-salah. My parents approve of him, and tell me that I can help him learn more about Islam after we get married. Please advise. Do not ever obey your parents in something that can bring you destruction. If your husband doesn't pray, and you're lying next to him day in and day out, and you wake up for salah and he doesn't, that is a calamity. Don't you ever put yourself in such a situation. This isn't a question just of halal or haram. We're not saying that the aqd. And we're talking, the scholars of Islam, they state that if a man doesn't pray and he's asked, do you pray? And he says no. Will you pray? And he says no. He's to be divorced from his wife. How are you going to go about it the opposite way? How are you going to go about it? You know, and how do you know he doesn't pray? Maybe we shouldn't be quick. Does this man tell you, I don't pray, still marry me? And your parents still consider him? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ How can you know someone doesn't pray and even allow him to enter your home? لَا يَأْقُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيِّ Let only a fearful person of Allah eat from your food and consume your food. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. This is your daughter. Nafak. You're giving away your kidney. She's more precious than anything that you possess. You give her away to one who does not know Allah, doesn't pray. Subhanallah. So the sisters not to marry such a man. Unfortunately today, we advise our children about salah and praying on time. And their reply to me is, Mom, or Mum, as you say, you've told us to pray, so just relax. Then they don't do anything about it. What tactics should we use with our children? It depends how old your child is. If your child is now 16 years old and you've never once told them to pray, it's difficult. If your child is of an age that he hasn't seen you praying all his life, he's grown up, hasn't seen you pray, it's difficult. But if you've come and recognized the truth and the importance of salah, and your child is of an age where you still have sulta, power and ability over him, you make sure that he prays. You make sure, you bug him, you're always in his face. Anything he wants, you don't get. Anything he needs, you distance from him. Till he submits to his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you are merciful. You are kind. You are reassuring. If you see him begin to pray, encourage him. Pray with him. If you have prayed, pray again with him. Tell your son, أنت اللي هتؤمني بالصلاة, you're the one that's going to lead me. From here on in, you're the one that's going to lead me in prayer. I remember, I was 7 years old, 8 years old, and I would be the one who would lead the whole family in salah. I would lead المغرب, وخويا ياسر would lead العشاء. And we'd read قل هو الله أحد every day, every night. Every night, قل هو الله أحد in both rak'ahs. Alhamdulillah. This is how you teach your children. You don't just say, you don't open the door, they're on the internet or they're watching TV and you say, pray, and then you close the door and walk away. Okay, you've told us. No. When the time of prayer comes, you make sure, even if you're going to disconnect the fuse box, no TV is no TV. Salah. You're going to lose the stuff that you're working on. I know you have a project. I'm going to disconnect the fuse. Salah. Call your children with reward, with punishment, with encouragement. Don't leave your children to be aimless. Don't just say, بلغت خلاص. I just told him and that's it. Or don't have yet. Say, I've told him day in, day out, خلاص. It's enough. Or he's old enough to decide for himself. It's your duty to maintain your love of your children. How do you love your children? If you walk into a room in the middle of the winter, and this is in winter what you have here. If you walk in the room and you're in Canada, and your child window's open and it's minus 40 degrees and the wind chill hasn't still been calculated, and you see the window open, you rush to close it, to shut the window. Now you see every day, your son opens a window and walks through it to jump out the window to go into the fire. You don't once try to catch him. You don't once try to pull him back. You don't once have that same concern that you have for his physical safety in things that are more important. And know that if your children begin to pray, your house begins to have nur wa baraka wa rahmah in it. If everyone is praying in the family, you can feel the ladha, the joy, the taste of worship. Wallahi, you will not recognize how much of a joy it is until my father, he told me, one of the greatest things I ever experienced in life was when I would hear you wake up and make the wudu for Fajr. And we'd wake up from it. Because I don't care how high your marks were, or whatever you've done else, that gave me the greatest joy. Simple things. And you won't recognize your life once you begin practicing them. You will say, how could I have lived without praying? How could I have lived without hijab? How could I have lived in such zalam, darkness? Because, خُرِجُهُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. You're taken out of the darkness into the light. And once you taste it, once you taste the sweetness of worshipping Allah, you won't go back. You won't go back. You mentioned that if your parents are non-Muslim, and I add to the question, and they die in a state of disbelief, then you will not see them in the Jannah. Are there any ahadith which suggest who we will be with al-Jannah? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us in the Qur'an, those who have families, وَاتَّبَعُوهُمْ, and they followed them in example of doing righteous deeds, أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ, we shall join them, bring them to each other. And therefore you see Ibrahim, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ, he would make this dua, oh Allah forgive me and my parents. Is that after his parents died? La. It was before. But once his father died, and Ibrahim knew he was from al-mushrikeen, khalas. He gave up all hope. So once a person's parents, they reject the truth after they see their own children entering, and they go to other than the path of Allah, they shall be seen, but seen from al-Jannah. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ The people of Jannah shall call out to the people of the fire, أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقَّ We have found what Allah promised us to be true. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ Have you found what your Lord has promised you? This is going to be put forth. And then later on in the surah, in Surah Al-A'raf, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ The people in the fire shall call to the people of Jannah. أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ Just drop on us a couple of drops of water or anything that Allah has given you. This is the separation. And therefore Muhammad ﷺ of his names was that he was the one who made tafriq, made a criterion, a distance between one and the other. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ You won't find those who believe in Allah and the final day, and the final day, those who will show love that is deserved only for believers to those who fight against Allah and His Messenger and the faith, even if it's their own fathers. The sister is asking, what suggests that Luqman was not a prophet? What suggests it is that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Luqman is not a prophet. Is the hadith narrated in the Imam al-Tirmidhi that Luqman was a man, rajulun salih, a righteous man who was not a prophet. And that is understood from the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars of tafsir did not take from this hadith. They had not understood this hadith to be sahih. In fact, the hadith is hasanun لغيره. It is a hadith that is acceptable in the scholars of hadith stances. So it is accepted. And even without that, there is circumstantial evidence to show that Luqman was not a prophet from Allah, but he was a man who was upon righteousness and good deeds. What is the punishment for those who disrespect their parents? Disrespecting the parents is something that is punished in the dunya before the akhirah. And it's punished in the grave before the akhirah. You are punished, a person is punished in the dunya for disrespecting his parents in many different ways. From them, as some of the salaf, the great sahaba and the tabi'in used to say, that the thing that you do will be done to you. Meaning that right now I know there's people. And although they may not be present with us, they may know someone else. Person, he has a girlfriend. He never once thinks, he goes clubbing. He never once thinks that by doing this, this leaves him open that when he's old, he has a daughter, that will happen. Or that now he has a sister. And a person sees him with a girl, and he says, well, if he can go with a girl, then I can go with his sister. Ox. Logically. And such is the same in disrespecting the parents. When you disrespect the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawa'ad has promised that they will be punished in the dunya in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. Know that the reward for honoring the parents is great. Do you want to have a longer life? If you want to have a longer life, you be good to your parents. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person, his qadr was about to come to him. His end, his life was near. And the angels are descending to take him. But at the same moment, the dua, and the hadith is sahih, the dua of his mother rises for him. And these two sets of angels begin to fight one another, argue with one another. The angels of death, they want to take this man. The angels of the dua of the mother say, no, his mother has made dua for him. They return to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases that person's life. Meaning that the actual qadr that Allah had written was what was the length, but Allah had not informed the angels of it. And this was the way of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us the importance of being respectful to especially the mother, the one who carried you hardship and pain from hardship and pain. Also, from the punishment of the person who disrespects his elders and his parents is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him in the grave for this sin. And this is one of the things that we are to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Each of us should recognize the importance of their mother, their father, their older brothers, their older sisters, their grandparents. This is the religion of Al-Islam. We do not ever distance ourselves from those who came before us and were upon righteousness. But we distance ourselves from those who came before us who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or who were in other than the state of Al-Islam. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ Even if they fight against you to disbelieve, لَا تُطِعْهُمَا But keep صُحْبَة Good companionship with them. These are the words we leave you with.